The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to BGN Radio with Brandon Lee Gowton and Jimmy Kemsky.
What's going on, everybody? This is BGN Radio, episode number 195, day two of Philadelphia Eagles training camp is in the books. I'm Jimmy Kemsky from PhillyVoice.com. With me, as always, is Brandon Lee Gowton of Bleeding Green Nation. How you doing, buddy? Hanging in there? A little tired?
Enthusiastic yo to start the podcast, despite the fact that you are tired, Jimmy.
I am tired.
Yeah, I'm tired, which is obviously speaks to how weak and pathetic we are, because
exactly.
The players who are actually practicing should be way more tired than we are.
Exactly.
Consider we're just standing on a sideline and taking notes. But I think, you know, it is mentally, you know, a lot because we're trying to keep track of a lot of things in our heads. But no one should feel bad for us. That's not what people are here for, Jimmy. They're here for the great training camp practice notes and observations that we have. And we'll get to those in a second. But first, let me tell you about Righteous Felon Craft Jerky, which obviously sponsors BGN Radio. And you can go to RighteousFelon.com to get the best dang jerky snacks you can get out there. Use discount code BGN15 for 15% off. Same discount code at WildNaturePet.com for 15% off dog treats. Jimmy, where do we start today?
Yeah, so I figured on these podcasts going forward, as Brandon and I each have our practice notes that we write after each practice, and I didn't read his today. He happened to not read mine today, so we're just going to bat it back and forth. We'll take turns sort of going through what we thought were the most, you know, worthy things to talk about on the podcast, but we'll take turns going back and forth. So my first thing, were you inviting me to go first? Is that what that was?
Yes.
All right. So my first thing is I think we had our first sort of movement in the Andre Dillard, Jordan Mailata training camp battle for the starting job at left tackle. And I think that Jordan Mailata has gotten out to a quick lead on Mr. Dillard. Not so much for really anything that Mailata did. I think Mailata's actually played pretty well so far, but Dillard had a rough day, man. Like, especially in one-on-ones. I know that you were watching the 7-on-7s while the O-line, D-line were doing one-on-ones and also kind of keeping an eye on that at the same time. I was just honed in on the offensive line, defensive line one-on-ones, and Dillard had two really bad reps. Actually, the only two reps that I saw him take were really bad. Like, Josh Sweat got the edge on him. And all Dillard could do was kind of wrap his arm around Sweat's neck. Clear holding call. And it looked bad. And then a little bit later during that session, Derek Barnett, you know, sort of faked an outside rush. Dillard overset to the outside, and Barnett had a nice move back inside and just dusted him. And then during 11-on-11s, Dillard was going up against Barnett again. Barnett got the edge on him, and Dillard basically just tackled him. Like, it was the easiest flag to throw ever. And there was another play where I didn't see this, so I happened to be talking to Jeff McClain on the sideline, and he mentioned that Teron Jackson had beaten Dillard. And after that play, you know, Dillard had, when Dillard's reps were over and the second team came in, he's like on a knee on the sideline, looking a little despondent, and people are coming over and consoling him. So, you know, like, kind of give him like an attaboy, come on, like, stay with it kind of deal. So, again, like, Dillard not off to a good start. I thought last camp he was like, he wasn't horrible, but as you and I mentioned during that camp, and I think we even mentioned it recently on one of the pod episodes, there's the one rep. I mean, you don't want to make too much of one rep, but it was so bad that, like, you know, pretty much everyone wrote about it, where Joe Osman just, you know, bull rushed him. Joe Osman being a smaller edge rusher for the Eagles, if you'd even call him that. And just, I mean, just basically chucked him back into Carson Wentz, landed on Carson Wentz's, like, leg. His leg kind of bent awkwardly. And it was a play that just everyone saw, everyone wrote about. And, you know, but otherwise, I thought his camp was, like, you know, sort of up and down. But he's off to a bad start so far in this camp. And like I said, I'd have Jordan Mailata in the early lead.
The way he got cooked by Barnett, too, in one-on-one, Dillard now, I would say that's concerning, too, right? Because, like, you know, Andre Dillard struggles against the bull rush. We all know that. And against power, like, that's an obvious concern. But, like, the thing he's supposed to be good at is being super – well, he is very athletic.
Yeah.
Like, that's supposed to be his calling card. So for him to just get, like, cooked – and kind of, you know, obviously maybe the technique wasn't right or whatever, but for him to, you know, to lose a battle he theoretically should be able to win or is his stronger suit, like, that's pretty concerning. You mentioned the holding things. Yeah, I think it's not that I've necessarily noticed Mailata be, like, especially awesome or anything, but I haven't seen him struggle, and I have seen Andre Dillard struggle. So, yeah, and we should note, if you didn't already say, that it was Jordan Mailata who got the first crack at the first team
right
left
today
reps
yes.
today, although Dillard did rotate in, but I think it was, like, kind of like yesterday, where ultimately I would say Mailata still seemed to get more overall. Now, Jimmy, you are forgetting, I did see Andre Dillard shut down Milton Williams playing defensive end. So there's that, but I mean, obviously not really the highest bar to clear.
Oh, and 11 on 11s. Yes, I saw that rep chain. Yeah. When they were in the 3-4. One quick thing I'll add, by the way, when you mentioned, like, it's concerning that he got beat with speed, but that's the problem, like, with not being able to anchor against power, is that you overcompensate for that. And when you overcompensate for, you know, having that deficiency, not being able to block power, then you're going to get beaten with speed around the edge and on Connor moves to the inside. And that's exactly what happened to him during the 2019 season. When, like, it wasn't just all power rushes that he got beaten by that year. Like, he got beaten with speed around the edge, too, because he was overcompensating. You know, not that I'm, like, some kind of offensive line guru, never played the position or anything like that, but it is something that does happen to guys that do struggle against power, and it just affects their whole game and can kind of be like a career killer if you can't get it fixed. So, not an encouraging start for number 77.
Let's stay in the trenches here, Jimmy, and quickly note that Brandon Brooks left practice early after, I believe, the first team set of drills. Now, obviously, he didn't look like super injured or anything. He was walking on his own power. He did go to the trainer's tent with a trainer. He was in there for a little bit. He walked back into the NovaCare complex, and after practice, we were told that the description of the injury or whatever, how the Eagles said it, was what, like, precautionary?
I have it written here, actually. Let me find that real quick.
It's a hamstring
issue. Exactly where it is.
Precautionary evaluation is
that's
the term
it, they of, the, of his yes. hamstring. Yeah, precautionary evaluation of his hamstring.
So, obviously, doesn't seem major, you know, knock on wood. Hopefully it isn't. But, like, you know, at least a little concerning to see that, you know, for Brandon Brooks, who's had dealt with a lot of injuries. Mm-hmm. And also, by the way, you know, Isaac Smalo isn't out there either. Like, you want this offensive line to be out there as much as they can, kind of. Not that these guys have never played together, because a lot of them obviously have. But still, you know, it's been a while for some of them. Like, Brooks hasn't been in the field in a couple of years. It'd be nice to kind of get the timing back and everything, especially playing in a new offense. So, I don't think it's the end of the world, but it's like, it's not ideal.
Need Herbig filling in, by the way, at left guard for Isaac Seumalo. I don't know if we mentioned that yesterday, but
yeah,
I think we did. And then Matt Pryor filling in at right guard for Brandon Brooks when he left, which, okay. Like, I don't know what they still see in Matt Pryor, but I think Sua Opeta is the better, you know, next guy up for who they have available, in my opinion.
I might as well be podcasting with Bo Wolf.
exactly. I'm going to start also, praising Elijah Riley next.
Also sticking in the trenches, Jimmy, we talked about Derek Barnett. He's looked pretty good in camp so far. Mm-hmm. Him and Josh Sweat both. And it was kind of the same deal as Mailata and Dillard as Sweat and Barnett today, meaning that whereas Josh Sweat got the first crack of the first team reps yesterday, Wednesday, it was Derek Barnett today. On Thursday, but they still rotated in. So I think both players are looking pretty good. And after practice, Jonathan Gannon actually said that he views both of those players as starters. So I think that's significant. It seems like, and well, it is significant because the past, the former defensive coordinator talked about how he loved Derek Barnett so right. much that his, you know, daughters had his jerseys and whatever. And I think it was clear that Barnett was not only ahead of Sweat, but like significantly ahead. But now it seems like it's almost like a 50-50 kind of deal there.
Well, it's interesting that Sweat got the first crack, like you said, on the first day. So I don't know what to make of that, but I think Sweat outplayed Barnett last year, and on merit, I think that's fair. And as far as Barnett goes, you mentioned this on a recent pod and even last year and whatever, but like we expected Derek Barnett to have his first, you know, going into training camp healthy year. Last year since his rookie year in 2017. And that didn't happen. Like he was a surprise injury when we got to camp on day one last year. And this year, not so much the case. So he's healthy and, he has sort of a fresh slate this year and, he's getting paid a lot of money. Like he's making over $10 million on the fifth year option and he's got a lot to prove. And we mentioned in the last episode that, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily a competition between those guys in terms of like who's going to start, because like Gannon said, he thinks that both of them as starters and they're probably going to get like a similar number of reps at that right defensive end spot, but they are kind of sort of competing for the attention of the front office and, you know, who is going to get that contract extension, done first and who's going to get more money from the team and who they prioritize. So, yeah, definitely, those two guys are something to watch going forward. And by the way, I'll just keep it right with the trenches here too. Did you have anything more to add on Barnett and Sweat before I move on? Okay. So, the guy that I think that has stood out, one of the young players along the trenches, like Milton Williams has gotten like a lot of, pub early on, but Taron Jackson looks pretty good. The, rookie sixth round pick, like he had one play, like when I watched him in college, you know, what I came away, and he's a guy that like I profiled even during the season. Like I thought he'd be a good fit for their defense, but what he is like sort of like a hustle guy that, you know, is kind of like a good hand fighter, but doesn't have ideal, size, length or like ideal, like athleticism, but he was productive at Coastal Carolina. I thought he'd kind of be like a guy that could, you know, you mix in, you're going to get 100% effort out of that guy. But in one-on-ones, he had this one play against, I want to say it was Casey Tucker, where he got low on his dip, like around the edge. I didn't see anything like that out of him in college, but he had a nice low dip and bend around the edge. And I was like, whoa, where did that come from? And, he's, and like I mentioned earlier, again, I didn't see this play during practice today, but, as I said, Jeff McClain had told me that, you know, Taron Jackson had beaten, Andre Diller during, the 11-on-11 session. So, you know, that's a guy that kind of has my attention and is going to be on my radar going forward.
Brandon Graham said back in like spring drills or so that the young defensive linemen were really impressing him. And again, never know what to really make of that because Brandon Graham would be one to like gas up his teammates, even if probably they weren't looking amazing. If he was talking
eternally positive guy.
But I think there, like, he might not just be totally BSing there. He might be like, that might be real. There might be something to that based on what we're seeing from Taron Jackson early in practice. So that's interesting. I want to stick with the defense for a little bit, Jimmy. A couple quick things. I mean, I think it was interesting that Davion Taylor seems to be linebacker number one on the right team right now because it was TJ Edwards who replaced Eric Wilson, which is pretty surprising because I thought that was going to be like, I saw Edwards in the defense today before I saw Davion Taylor still out there. And I had assumed that, okay, Eric Wilson's still on the field and TJ Edwards isn't there in place of Davion Taylor. Now, again, it's the second day. We'll see if these rotations change because they have been rotating heavily. Save your thoughts on that, because I also wanted to mention that it was Marcus Epps, Pepsi, back with the first team. And unlike kind of the Mailata, Dillard, Sweat, Barnett dynamic, I'm pretty sure I saw like only Epps with the first team defense, at least at first. I did see Wallace back there later in a separate session, but I just thought it was kind of interesting. Within that session, it wasn't like they were rotating like the other guys were. So kind of thought that was a little interesting. Did you have any thoughts on those defensive depth chart updates?
Well, Kayvon got the whole day yesterday, and I guess just that maybe that's just sort of like a positional, like maybe just the positional coaches are rotating them however they want, and that's just how the defensive backs coach rotated them, as opposed to the way that Stoutland is rotating Dillard and Mailata. They kind of have some, you know, it's sort of their own free reign in that. I don't know, but it is interesting that like that Wallace and Epscott, you know, have split snaps. Barnett and Sweat have, you know, they've shuttled back and forth. And then, of course, Dillard and Mailata. But Davion Taylor hasn't switched out with anyone. So, yeah. Like, as you meant, like, that is interesting that that they're getting him a lot. And you know what they should? Really, they should be getting him as many reps as they can. Because he, like, when I did a sort of a deep dive look at him, and he only played, like, I don't know, like, under 100 snaps during the season. But he's a player that, like, if you're going to unlock his potential, you got to get him reps. And you don't want to be in a situation where you're playing him during a game just to get him reps, but he's so bad that he's unplayable. So now's the time to get him as many reps as you can and to try to get him up to speed, because he does have potential. They did spend a high pick on him. So like, wow, we kind of like, you know, kind of go, oh, how he's playing all these guys that he drafted early, like JJ and Davion Taylor and Andre Dillard. And like, you know, we can say that, but at the same time, like they did use those picks on these guys, and you do want to at least give them a chance to show what they can do in this league. And I think it is smart that he's getting a lot of reps early on.
Well, especially in a year again, where it's not like all in, win, you know,
right.
It's not just like play the best player no matter what. No, we have to find some long term answers here. Yes. So I think that's when people like kind of disagree about the transition year thing. I think that's what we're kind of talking about too here, where like it's about finding answers this year. It's not just about trying to win a championship. So I agree with that. I guess switching over to the offense, Jimmy, or actually, no, let's take a quick break here because we're halfway through, or maybe ideally
we'll see
with what these should be. We'll see. We'll take a quick break right here. Obviously, check out Kristen Roach from Roach Builders. Check out Righteous Home Craft Jerky. Discount code BGN15. And Jimmy,
back after this.
Back here on BGN Radio, I want to talk about a couple offensive observations I had, Jimmy, starting with Jalen Hurts, who maybe we should have mentioned earlier, but I thought he had a better day today. I don't think he was like lights out amazing. I did see him have an overthrow at one point on Zach Ertz, which is pretty bad, but a couple throws that stood out from him for me were when he was rolling left at one point, and obviously he's right-handed, and he hit J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, pretty good throw.
Mm-hmm.
He was scrambling to the left. Another throw, which was the play of the day, and I don't think you actually saw, and spoiler alert, this is my play of the day pick when we get to that segment at the end of the podcast, but it's too, you know, like relevant to not mention now.
Yes.
Is he, Jalen Hurts, dropped back on 7-on-7. I actually thought like the ball might not be complete, because I saw him like double clutch it at one point, and I was like, oh no, I don't love that. It almost reminds me of how Carson Wentz would do that sometimes. Like, just let it rip, man. But he did let it rip eventually, and it got out, and it was right on target to Devontae Smith. He put enough air under it where the receiver could get it, and Devontae Smith cleanly burned Steven Nelson. So that was really good to see. A lot of the fans, of course, like that. A lot of people on Twitter, you know, all the retweets for any kind of Devontae Smith is doing well. And Jalen Hurts is throwing to him tweet. So that was exciting to see. The thing I wanted to note there, and I put in my practice notes, Jimmy, I don't want to make everything about comparing Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. Wentz isn't here, whatever. But like, to be honest, when Carson Wentz would throw those balls, especially last year, like you didn't have complete confidence that that throw wasn't going to be overthrown.
Right.
We saw Carson Wentz struggle with that. With Jalen Hurts, I have more of a confidence when it's a deep ball that like, he is going to complete it. Because as I've said before, I think he puts nice touch on those. I think he allows the receivers to run under them and actually get to it instead of like totally just overshooting them.
Yeah, he wasn't accurate last year, but I thought he did throw a nice deep ball on occasion. You know, when he had his opportunities in those four games last year, but I did catch the end of that play. And, like, so whenever they throw deep at all in a practice, like you'll hear the crowd kind of go, ooh, like you hear something. And I turned to see what I was missing. And I did see the ball come down and like hit Devontae, like right in stride. By the way, he smoked,
yeah.
It was Steven Nelson and Kayvon Wallace in coverage on that. Yep. And he had a good like 2 yards of separation on those guys on that deep ball. Yep. So,
and it wasn't like a broken play. Like he just beat him.
And I'd been asked previously about Devontae Smith's speed, And, you know, we don't have a time on him because he didn't run at the combine. He didn't run at his pro day because he didn't need to, because he's awesome and he won the Heisman Trophy and he's like one of the most decorated college players ever. And so he didn't even do all that. And so I guess there's a question on what his actual time speed is. Well, let me tell you, he can run. Like, don't worry about it. He is fast. He can run in addition to the other, you know, obvious things that he does well, like run routes and catch passes and blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, interesting start for him like a day ago. You know, debatable whether he had one or two drops, but, you know, he wasn't happy with his performance day one. I think he's probably a lot happier with his performance in day two. And by the way, on Jalen Hurts, again, like I thought he kind of struggled the first day and I thought he got out to like a little bit of a shaky start, on day two, but, once he got going, he started playing a lot better. He also hit Giant. I don't know. I can't remember. I don't know if you mentioned this or not, but he hit John Hightower on what turned into a long catch and run. So that was a nice throw by Jalen Hurts as well. So Jalen Hurts made plays today, which was encouraging to see after, again, sort of like an up and down start. So yeah, I wouldn't say that like I love what I've seen out of Jalen Hurts so far.
Yeah.
But he's trending in the right direction. And by the way, like first two practices, it doesn't matter. Like, it's the offense is usually going to look sloppy early on. The defense usually is going to have the upper hand, as they did yesterday. But I thought it was evened out a little bit more today.
I don't know if I buy that, by the way. I mean,
no?
If you say it and you believe it, like, I just don't know. Like, that seems very like anecdotal to me. Maybe it's true, but like, I don't know. I feel like that's just something sometimes people say, and it could be true.
There's logic to it though, because like there's less of, because like, with offense there's a lot of timing involved, where it's less of that on defense.
I don't know. I don't know if I fully even agree with that, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, it's just, it doesn't have to be. I don't have to be right. I could be wrong. It's okay. Fine. I just like in my, it's about what I feel, Jimmy. It's not necessarily all right. About knowing. Anyway, yeah. So
let's keep it on my receivers, or do you want to do you have more?
I want to just touch on Devontae real quick and say that I think I've said this before, but to me, he's not a burner. Like, he's not a guy that you see like just sprint by someone and it looks like, you know, like the way that Deshaun is. To me, he's a glider. Like, he just gracefully just like is suddenly behind the defender. It's not like he's like even showing like a lot of effort to do it. It's just like happens.
Right.
I feel like the defensive back is almost like confused. It's like, how did this happen? Like, I didn't like see him totally just smoke me, but now he's behind me. It's like deceptive. I like it. So it's just an aesthetic thing, or at least in my mind. So I like to see that. What else did you have at wide receiver?
So Jalen Reagor was limited for the second day in a row, with the way that Eagles classified it was lower body tightness. After practice, Jeff McClain put out an article that was sourced in that he had failed his conditioning test. And part of the reason for that, as the explanation was given in McClain's piece, was that he had a close friend was murdered. So that has been weighing on him and his mind over the last – I forget. I don't. What did it say? Did the article say? Cause I read it very quickly before we before we recorded. Did it say how long ago that happened?
I didn't see all of it yet.
So
again.
So yeah, I mean, like, you feel for Jalen Reagor, and what he's going through. I've never lost, you know, a really close friend like that. So yeah, I mean,
and you're a lot older than him.
You know, yeah. So
him being a 22-year-old person.
So, yeah, I mean, that's got to be really difficult on him and, you know, his family and all his other friends that were friends with this person. So, you know, it's a tough situation. At the same time, you'd prefer that, you know, he not fail a conditioning test. I don't know, you know, how much the mental aspect of that weighs into physically not being able to do what I don't know what exactly the Eagles asked, you know, asked their wide receivers to do in terms of conditioning test. But it's a really important camp for Jalen Reagor because, you know, he's coming off the disappointing rookie season. And there are a lot of things that he didn't do well that he did better in college, like, you know, getting yards after catch and making plays down the field. And we just didn't see much of that in his rookie season. So there's a lot of areas where he can improve. And he just hasn't been like hasn't taken any competitive reps yet. So, you know, I think from the way that I view that is, you know, you give him some time and you let him sort of get over you give him time to grieve the loss of his friend. But at some point, you know, he's going to you know, he's going to have to take these competitive reps and show that he can improve in year two.
Yeah, it's what we said yesterday. Like, it's just not the ideal start. It doesn't mean that he can't come back to practice sometime
soon
and start lighting it up and have a great camp, and then like this little like slow start will be a blip on the radar and we'll forget about it. Doesn't mean that, but like it's just not the start you want to see. You know, like it's kind of almost hard to imagine if you're just talking about vibes. Like, okay, this is the year Jalen Reagor like really breaks out. Like, you know, that situation looks like he comes into camp, he looks good from day one, and then he goes from there, you know, and that's not what we're seeing right now. So until we see, you know, more encouraging signs, then we're going to not be feeling super encouraged about his outlook. So we'll see if that changes. Should also mention that Dallas Goedert also failed his physical per Jeff McClain, and that kind of explains why we really haven't seen a lot of Dallas Goedert. He's been practicing, but not like we haven't seen a ton of him in practice so far. So that kind of
the explanation on that was weird too, by the way. Like, it wasn't because he was out of shape. It was because he turned the wrong way when he was executing whatever they were asking him to do, which is weird. Like, couldn't you just tell him, oh, do that over, but just turn the right way this time? Like, it's a weird explanation. So I don't know what's going on there, but, you know, those two guys haven't been out there all that much.
The other thing on offense that I had before, I think I'm good to get to our last section, Jimmy, is that I think Nick Mullins looks better than Joe Flacco.
Okay.
It's only 2 days, but I've been more impressed by him. I wonder kind of about Nick Mullins' ability to throw outside the numbers because he doesn't look like he has the greatest arm. I mean, we saw that kind of last year.
Right.
The Eagles played the 49ers as well. But, like, you can almost see why Kyle Shanahan likes him because he can work the middle of the field, not unlike Jimmy G, and he's accurate. I think he's really accurate on these throws. Gets it out quickly, decisive. He had a number of completions over the middle that were like not super easy passes in the terms of like they were between defenders. Like he was like getting the ball into tight spaces, making really good decisions and throws. So I like that with him. I haven't really seen anything, I guess, like super awful from Flacco, but I haven't really seen anything good from him at all either. So like, I don't know. Obviously, I feel like I come into this conversation potentially biased because I don't think the Joe Flacco signing was smart. But based on merit, like, too, I really think I've been more impressed by Nick Mullins. Does this matter a ton? Maybe not, because I think it's going to be Flacco anyway, unfortunately. But, you know, we talked about Nick Mullins being on the roster bubble, and if he keeps looking good in camp, you know, maybe they just keep him around. I don't know.
I haven't watched them that closely because I haven't cared.
Doesn't matter.
I really just haven't cared much.
But
it is something to watch because, you know, it is, in theory, a camp battle of sorts, I guess. I mean, I think you and I both kind of agree that, like, Flacco is going to be given every opportunity and then some to be the backup quarterback because he got $3.5 million guaranteed, whereas Nick Mullen has, like, the veteran minimum, and I don't remember exactly how much of that is guaranteed, but I assume not much. So are you going to cut a guy that's you're paying $3.5 million no matter what? No. Like, he's got to make the team. So I don't know. Flacco is kind of like a near lock, in my opinion, to win the number two job. But it is going to be interesting to see if Mullins can outplay him.
Do you have any other observations before we get to one bit of news?
Yes. So two things from the running back position. Kerryon Johnson had a run today where he made several cuts, and I was standing next to Dave Zangaro, and I like the word that he used for it. He looked springy, he said, and I agree with that. Kerryon Johnson has some knee concerns heading into this training camp, but it looks fine there. So I don't know. We'll see. And then Jason Huntley had a long run. It was aided by a holding call that it would have been called back, which has nothing to do with his play but he looked fast. Like he had legit speed on that play. And that's why they claimed him off of waivers from the Detroit Lions last year. And this is the first opportunity that we're getting to actually watch him because he wasn't in Eagles camp last year. So, you know, interesting to see that. So that's the rest of what I have offensively.
Jalen Hurts came over to Huntley after that play too. And he wasn't even on the field for that play. Like he was
on the
sideline. He came over and he like did a little handshake celebration with Huntley. So that's, you know, nice little boost there for Huntley. And I think, again, this is a guy, I was looking up his return stats recently. He returned like five touchdowns. He had five kick return touchdowns in college, and he had like a, I forget the average, but I think it was pretty high, maybe 30. It was really high. So, you know, if that's a guy who can give you a little bit something in offense and he's like looking good on kick returns in the preseason, like, yeah, I mean, you're going to have to find a way to maybe keep him around. The bit of news, Jimmy, that we had to get to is shortly before we started this podcast, the Eagles agreed to terms. I guess haven't officially announced it as last as I checked. We'll see.
I don't think they can because the roster's full.
Yeah, make it course.
So they have to cut. Yeah, they cut somebody. Yeah,
but they signed Obi Melifonwu, who they actually brought in for a pre-draft visit all the way back in 2017. Obi was drafted that year as a second round pick, number 56 overall, by the then Oakland Raiders. And basically had a bunch of injuries, only played five games for the Raiders. Then he got picked up by the Patriots in, I believe, 2018, and he only played like a game or two for them. Never really saw like meaningful playing time. Really interesting like profile of a player. He's almost 6'4".
He's huge.
Super
yeah.
athletic.
Yeah. Impressive. He's a spider chart guy. He's a spider chart all-star.
Spider chart all-star. he's like he's a mega spider. He's like Aragog and Harry Potter, maybe. yeah, so interesting guy from that standpoint. I will say that he was with the Eagles in rookie minicamp as a tryout player. And I noticed at the time that they actually had him listed at cornerback back then instead of safety. So I think they might be changing positions for him. And maybe that's a reason to believe he like can show something now at a new position. Obviously, he's probably just a camp body more likely than not. But like, if anything could inspire hope, maybe it's a position change. Do you have any thoughts on Obi, Jimmy?
I would say he's more like the spider from The Simpsons, where Homer goes through Sector 7B, I believe, to escape the plant. And he says, in order to avoid the spider's curse, simply quote a Bible verse. And then he goes, thou shalt not. And he doesn't know any Bible verses, so he picks up a rock and he throws it at the spider, and the spider falls over and he runs by him. Anyway, he was actually Obi Melifonwu was actually a tryout at
I said this to me.
Oh, you did. I'm sorry.
Too busy on the.
I was worried about my Simpsons spider. I was trying to think of the rhyme that.
I saw you hard at work there. It's fine. I covered it. We can move on. Jimmy, let's get to our final segment.
But he's a camp body. Let's be real about what he is.
Yeah, but you know, I think there could be even worse camp bodies. Like, you know,
sure,
a camp body that. Well, I mean, we thought probably Travis Woolgum though was a camp body at the time they added him. So yeah, like non-0% chance he could do something, but you know, probably like 1%. So
right.
On the low end. But let's get to our MVP. LVP and then play of the day pick, starting with your MVP of today, Jimmy.
Why don't you go first on MVP? Because I got to figure that out in my head. I got the rest of them.
Yeah. Oh, I was actually wanting you to go first. So I had to figure it out in my head, too.
All right. Well, I'll give my LVP first. And I think that's easy. It's Andre Dillard. For all the reasons I mentioned previously, don't need to get into that any further.
I'm going to give myself honorable mention LVP because I didn't mention that Jannard Avery was running with the first team yesterday. I didn't see that. You know, this is hard to see.
Okay.
So he actually wasn't. I saw that again today. He was actually lined up outside over like a slot receiver, like way wide. Kind of, I think, as like the weak side linebacker because he was dropping in the coverage too. But I guess the Eagles can theoretically like rush him from that point too. Now, he did have a defensive back behind him. It wasn't like he was like single, like they had him single covering a slot receiver, but like he was lining up over him. So I guess like, you know, the option there is he could actually cover that guy in a short range or he, again, could go and rush the passer or whatever. So honorable mention for me, but I think I do have to give it to Dillard now that you said it. It was just like, to me, I mean, it's the biggest battle of camp. And he didn't look good. And sometimes I think it's, you know, like you go into the offseason with hope this player can improve. But my thing is sometimes players are just who they are. And I think we'd all, like, in theory, it'd be so nice if Andre Dillard was the first round pick, like that player of that caliber that you thought the Eagles were getting when they drafted him. But I'm just not seeing the signs of that. So I have to take him as the loser. And he has a lot to lose in the sense of he's not going to be like winning the starting left tackle job is a big deal. You know, that's a big contract in the future and everything. Like, him not getting this is a big deal, and he hasn't officially lost that battle just yet, but he was a loser today, so I'm putting him there with you.
Yeah, I mean, he's, like, you have him under contract for another year in 2022, then you can exercise his fifth-year option in 2023. Like, it'd be amazing if he were actually good. Like, it'd be great for the team, but I just don't see it, and I don't know that I ever will. So, my MVP... I'm going to go with only because he's not going to have any other opportunities, more than likely. I'm going to go with Jason Huntley for his long run today. I thought he showed something. So Jason Huntley is my day two Eagles training camp MVP.
I'm going to go with Devontae Smith because he had that big reception. It was the play of the day.
Was it your guy yesterday too?
No, he wasn't yesterday.
Are you sure?
Yesterday, I had a really bad pick. I picked Miles Sanders yesterday. I mean, I don't regret it conceptually because I picked Miles Sanders.
Are you sure?
Yes. I have it written down here, Jimmy.
Well, yes, okay. Was Devontae your play of the day then?
Yeah, but he was not my MVP.
All right. All right. Well, he's going to be your play of the day again then on day two.
Oh, yeah, he is. That's going to happen a lot. Spoiler alert. Guess what? But whatever. It's mine. So no one can do anything about it. This is my podcast. Not the listener's podcast. No, I'm just kidding. It's a listener's podcast. So, yeah, I'm going to take Devontae. That was a really big play. It was an awesome catch. And I think it was good to see that deep speed, like you said, like to see that because we didn't know exactly what his time is. I mean, to beat Steven Nelson, who was like a good cornerback,
he's a legit starter. NFL, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that was a really good rep, especially after having a bad day or not a great day on the first day. He turned it around. He didn't, let that linger. So I'm going to give it to Devontae.
Yeah, it's clear that was the play of the day. Like, yeah. There's nothing else in contention. So yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that does it for the second episode of our daily Eagles training camp coverage here on BGN Radio. Make sure you rate, review, subscribe, all of those good things. Don't miss an episode. Also, leave a question in your review on Apple Podcasts, because if you do, then we have to answer it, even if we don't want to. So do that. And follow me on Twitter at Brandon Gowton. Follow Jimmy Kemsky on Twitter at Jimmy Kemsky. Check out our work respectively on BleedingGreenNation.com and PhillyVoice.com. Jimmy, do you have anything here before the podcast ends? I feel like you have a look on your face or something.
Yeah. So Songbird Rescue Cat actually had a question on Twitter.
Wow.
I guess we already covered this. I remember he had a question and I like him, so I was going to answer it. But he said, how does a wide receiver fail a conditioning test? So, like, we don't know. We don't know what the conditioning test was. So, my apologies, can't answer that. I don't have anything further.
All right. Well, the Eagles will be back at practice on Friday morning at 10 a.m. So then we will be back with you on Friday afternoon at some point with a podcast to listen to. So, make sure you listen to that and don't miss it. And also, while we're here, let me tell you to subscribe to the SB Nation NFL show. It's up for a podcast award, Jimmy.
Is it?
Check out my Twitter page. I'm going to retweet a tweet that's going to kind of have the information on that. It's not currently retweeted as we're recording this, so I will do that when we're done. But yeah, so check all that out, and we will be back with you on Friday, which is tomorrow.
Goodbye, everybody.
BGN.